podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're all over the Chicago Bears as we talk about their 2018 season, what's to come in 2019, and so much more with our special guest. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. Well, fortunately enough, this interview could not have been timed better, because right now there are lots of questions circling the Bears as they enter the 2019 season. What's the running game going to be like without Jordan Howard? Will David Montgomery be a suitable replacement? And then, of course, you've got the kicking situation. Cody Parkey's gone, Robbie Gould re-signed with San Fran. Who can the Bears trust to make a clutch kick down the stretch? Add all of that with Mitchell Trubisky and his development in year three, and those are a lot of questions that need answers, which is why today we're bringing on a very special guest to talk exclusively Bears football. So sit back and relax and enjoy our in-depth conversation. He began his sports broadcasting career in the mid-1980s, working for Sports Phone here in Chicago. After stops at the Tribune Radio Network, Illinois News Network, and CLTV, he became the sports director at WMAQ Radio in 1991. For 7 years, he would go on to co-host Chicago Bulls game day broadcasts, anchor the morning drive shift, and later host Chicago Bears pregame and postgame shows. Today, he's entering his 19th season as the radio voice of the Bears, while serving as the director of sports operations for News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Please welcome Jeff Joniak to the show. Jeff, how are you doing today? Thank you for being here on the show.
Good to be with you, and very excited about the upcoming season. So about ready to get rolling.
And Jeff, speaking of those Bears, let's talk about the 2018 season for a minute, one that was quite historic to say the least. I mean, for the first time in 8 years, the Bears won their division and made the playoffs. The defense forced 36 turnovers to lead the league by a wide margin. And Mitchell Trubisky showed us at times that he's capable of being a legitimate franchise quarterback. What's your main takeaway from what the Bears put together in 2018?
Well, it certainly was, in many people's estimations, ahead of schedule, but the belief the team had in Matt Nagy from day one, from the first team meeting back in the offseason, I think set the stage for what we saw in 2018. And that's a team that has fun, a team that believed in itself, has a bit of a swagger, and now that swagger has really blossomed. And a lot of it has to do defensively. That defense had just a tremendous tremendous job shutting down some pretty potent offenses and establishing some superstars on that side of the ball. And then we saw the continued growth of the offense with really no experience together whatsoever and a brand new system. And that's what makes this 2019 season so enticing, because the most of the additions and subtractions are one thing that you can look at, but growth internally is where you're going to really focus on 2019. Growth in the offense, continued growth on the defense with a new coordinator.
How far do you think the Bears could have gone in the playoffs last year had the kicking situation been more established? Because throughout the year, Cody Parkey's struggles cost the Bears at least one game that comes to mind in Miami, a couple of others, and of course, the Philadelphia game in the playoffs. Did you see the Bears as Super Bowl contenders? Had they shored up their position there with Cody Parkey last year?
Well, I mean, that's too hard to say, because obviously it's the most glaring aspect of what happened at the end. But, you know, they could have done things throughout that course of that game to not leave it on the kicker's foot. So I can never just put it all on one guy. He's not the sole reason things didn't materialize further in the playoffs. But it is certainly in an area that needs significant attention, and they've tried everything in their power now to try and fix that. And it's yet to be determined. It is an important position, obviously, in the league. You got to have a good field goal kicker, somebody who's reliable to, you know, realize your Super Bowl dreams. And, you know, that team believed. They believed that they were going to go and take on their next opponent, whomever it may be, and they thought that they were going to be one of those Super Bowl teams. That was the internal belief in that locker room, and that's really where you have to start. You have to start with the belief they had it, and they certainly have it here in 2019.
Jeff Joniak here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Jeff, now talking about the running game here in 2019, the Bears also made some headlines this past offseason, sending Jordan Howard to Philadelphia while signing Mike Davis and drafting David Montgomery. So first of all, why was Jordan Howard traded away? You know, I know his production dipped and he had some problems under the Matt Nagy offense, but this was a guy who posted back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and was a top 10, top 15 running back in the NFL. What are your thoughts on the Bears' decision to trade Jordan Howard?
I love Jordan. He is a pounder back, but he's a guy that also needs a lot of carries. He really gets in a rhythm as the game goes on. And in Matt Nagy's offense, there's no guarantee somebody's going to get those kind of touches. It's not going to be that way now. It's not going to be that way ever. He likes a buffet of options in every aspect of this team. Receiving, tight end, running back. So the versatility of the position, I believe that he was a better pass catcher than people want to give him because he had a few drops in 2017. Didn't have any drops last year. But route running is also something that Matt Nagy takes seriously. And to be versatile and to know to keep a defense off guard and to create mismatches, you know, everybody's got to run routes with integrity, and it can't just be flare-outs and dump-offs and so forth. It's got to be the entire route tree. And the running backs they have right now, they can do all of that. So I think he wanted more versatility in the route running, not just, you know, those little screens or dump-off passes at the running back position.
So in your opinion then, do you think the combination of Davis, Montgomery, and of course Tariq Cohen will sufficiently replace Jordan Howard? Are these three guys capable of matching his production while also fitting in well with the Nagy offensive system?
I do. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be here. And I think they fit the type of offense that Matt Nagy is dreaming up. He makes the use of all their skill sets. He doesn't try and force them into a box, so to speak. So, you know, you got guys that are hungry. I mean, Tariq's always going to be hungry. He's one of the heartbeats of the team. Davis is a guy that feels he's been disrespected over the course of his career. He's a very hard-nosed leader type of back already in that running back room. And David Montgomery is somebody I feel that, even though he's a third-round pick, he's got a first-round caliber to him, and he's going to be that type of back, in my opinion. I watched a ton of his games. I'm an Iowa State grad, so I was keenly interested in watching those games. And by virtue of that, I got a really good feel for David Montgomery. He does not go down easy. He's not the biggest back, nor is he the fastest back, but he is a rugged running back. Excuse me. He makes defenders miss in space. He is tough to bring down, and I think he's going to be an outstanding back inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line. He doesn't go backwards. He's a slithery, great feet, terrific hands, can run routes. Well, I'm very optimistic about David Montgomery and what they will do as a trio.
Sticking with the offense for a moment, where does Mitchell Trubisky fit into this equation? You know, last season there were many times where he put together some impressive performances, but not every game was perfect. There were some apparent growing pains. Is Mitchell Trubisky the future of this team? And if so, when do you see him breaking out and establishing himself as a top quarterback?
Well, I mean, I think the expectations of growth have to be calibrated. He is a guy that didn't have a ton of college starts. It was a brand new system with brand new pieces. So growing pains are certainly what is expected. So I didn't have the same analysis as you did of his year. I thought it all, though, bloomed on the final drive in the playoff game. We saw what he is capable of in the clutch. We saw what type of competitor he is. And he's the reason they even had a chance to win that game in the end if Parkey's field goal would have been good. I expect exponential growth this year in year three. better understanding of the line of scrimmage, better understanding of reading defenses, which is a process. I know there's a lot of comparative analysis that goes on with quarterbacks, certainly in the same draft class, and Pat Mahomes did things that few have in his first full season as a starter, but Mitch is the future. He is definitely the future, and his growth will be key to the entire operation.
So putting all of this together, the kicking situation, Jordan Howard's replacements, and Trubisky's development entering his third season, where do you see the Bears ending up here in 2019? Are they still a playoff-worthy team? Do you see them advancing past the first round? What do the Bears bring to the table here this season?
Well, they definitely are a playoff contender by virtue of what they've already. The bar has been set now, and the schedule is significantly more difficult, in my opinion, this year. So I don't ever predict wins and losses. I don't predict records. I think that's a futile task. It's a week-by-week situation where, you know, who's healthy, who's not, what team you're facing is on a roll, what team is not healthy, what key player's missing. So you can never predict all that. I just know this. They got belief, and they love their head coach. They love each other. It's a very tight football team, and they continue to bond each and every day. They work hard, and that tells me a lot about what they are ultimately going to become. You know, the offense obviously needs to take another step, and I think it will. You know, the areas that we have not even addressed at the receiver position, for example, and they're loaded. And if those guys all play to their potential and continue to develop as well, and Mitch has a lot to do with that, you got to grow your weapons as a quarterback in this league. You got to make them better. And Allen Robinson's playoff game is another example. I mean, he's now completely healthy for the first time since the first three snaps of 2017. And that's also a big, big part of this story. He's a number one caliber receiver. I think that what they put together, and even with the new defensive coordinator, they're going to be a very aggressive, hungry defense. I just feel that it's possible in 2019. I'll just leave it at that.
Moving now to your personal career, tell me about your journey from Iowa State, as you mentioned, as a broadcast journalism major to the voice of the Chicago Bears for now 19 years. How have you become such a respectable figure here, not only across the city of Chicago, but nationally as both a broadcaster and reporter?
You know, so I work very hard, and you know, you have to in this business, so I'm not saying that's the only reason, but it has a lot to do with it, and I've always felt success is where preparation meets opportunity, and I've had a lot of great mentors in this business, a lot of great bosses that have given me chances to prove myself, and that's all you can really ask in our business. It's a very subjective business. Not everybody's going to like you. And things change. The landscape's always changing. You get new direction, new leadership, and you just hope that, you know, you fit into the equation. And I've been fortunate enough to fit into the equation, and nothing was ever given to me. I had to work for every aspect of it, and I always wanted to be a play-by-play guy. Just never really had enough of the opportunity or put myself in those positions based on my other jobs. I had great experience. The Bulls run was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. And I just kept on climbing the ladder. That's really the only way I could put it into perspective. And, you know, got a few breaks, luck's on my side, right place, right time, all those cliches you want to throw out there. But I'm very pleased with the way things have gone. I got the best job in sports with the charter franchise of the National Football League, and for a legacy radio station like WBBM, you know, few people get those opportunities to come together like that. And so, in short, it's not just all me, it's people believing in me.
You know, something I think that many people don't know about you, and you had just mentioned it yourself, is that you were the co-host on Chicago Bulls game day broadcast throughout most of their championship run in the 90s. What was that like for you, watching Michael Jordan and the Bulls just dominate the NBA at the time?
Well, I mean, it was a magical time. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to be courtside for a huge chunk of that. Lou Kanellis, my dear friend, gave me opportunity to help out on pre and post game and during that time. And I have some unbelievable memories and watching Jordan. I've never seen an athlete like him in terms of being a clutch performer. There's nobody that I've ever watched in 33 years that compares to that. And I was just front and center for it. So it's a dream. I mean, it was an absolute dream to be able to watch that up close. And sometimes you forgot that you were actually a reporter and a media person at that time, because just the jaw-dropping finishes and the big plays and the big shots for one of the legendary teams in sports history.
So you ended up staying with the Bulls for 6 years before hosting pregame and postgame coverage for the Bears starting in 1997. When did you find out that you were going to become the next voice of the Bears, and what was your initial reaction?
Well, that was after the 2000 season. I was at the Super Bowl, covering the Super Bowl, and my boss at the time was interested in seeing how I would feel about even competing for that job, and I certainly wanted to. And I just feel I had a lot of people in my corner. I had a lot of support from the organization, a lot of support from the broadcast crew, and being pre and post game and being around the building and being around the guys as much as I was. And when I got it, changed my life. Just never will forget the moment. And I remember walking down McClure Court where BBM used to be located, and I just felt like my life had changed forever. And nothing was promised either. I didn't get a contract until I was year to year, as I should have been for a while. I had to prove myself, and clearly I did after what now will be in the 19th season in Bears history. So, pretty incredible story.
Looking back on it now, as you mentioned, entering your 19th season with the team, did you ever think it would last this long? I mean, you're a fixture in the lives of so many Bears fans across this country. What does that mean to you?
It's quite humbling, and every time I'm asked about it, I say the same thing. It's an honor. I don't take it for granted by any means. I work as hard as I have since day one, giving me this opportunity. The great part about it is it's a great sport. The league's unbelievable. We all love it. It's my favorite sport. And when you think about how NFL Films captures the visual, I really believe as one of the 32 NFL play-by-play radio announcers, our job is to chart the history of the game and chart the individual history of these great athletes and these star performers. And that's how I approach it, as charting the history of the game. And you never know when the play, Devin Hester play, or a great play by Brian Urlacher will live forever. And you got to capture the moment. And that's the job of a play-by-play guy. The mundane, 3-yard runs and the, simple plays, those come to you and you capture those moments too. But the big ones are the ones that live forever. And that's the job you're tasked with, and being the eyes and ears for those who can't be at the stadium. And those are the greatest compliments when you hear people see the game in their mind's eye because of how we describe the game and how Tom breaks it down. So it's my passion, and I hope I can do it for a real long time.
What's been the best moment that you've been a part of as the Bears lead broadcaster over your 19-year career?
Well, obviously the 06 Super Bowl run has a special place in our hearts. Getting the call of Super Bowl, that's something you never dream of. But then, Devin's opening kickoff return, that's probably the signature play in my career. But, my first season 01 when I was raw, that team was very good, 13-3 playoff team, and some great moments. I'm very close to some of the players on that team because it was my start, and I'll never forget, some of those big plays and some of those characters on that team. So, when you do it for a long time, virtually every season, good or bad, you're going to have special moments, and they stick with you for a long time. So it's hard to categorize them, but nothing gets bigger than the Super Bowl, and nothing will be bigger when they do win a Super Bowl. And if I'm fortunate enough to call it, that'll be the next memory.
And finally, Jeff, before we let you go here today, let's go back to the 2018 NFC North Division title game, more specifically, the video of your call with broadcast partner Tom Thayer. Now, you were obviously amped up about the significance of the moment, and when it was all said and done, the video of you two actually went viral. First of all, tell me about the call itself. What went into it from your perspective? And also, did you ever think that this job would bring you some added internet stardom?
Well, I'm not a big social media guy, so that aspect of it, I just take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, some of it I have to be a part of, obviously, with my responsibilities. But I always looked at radio as theater of the mind. So, you know, drawing back the curtain on our radio booth and having it as a visual was something I wasn't a big fan of, but it was something I agreed to do. I just appreciate, you know, the medium and the broadcasters that have come before all of us are some of the greats in every sport. And you know, you close your eyes and listen to them call games, even back to the 40s and 50s and 60s. I always have really enjoyed that, respected that. So I just think from a Bears fan base perspective, it, as you say, it went viral, likely because it was finally here. A playoff appearance, a division title on top of it, and a lot of hope. And I think I felt, and Tom did too, that it was a long time coming for us. We had called some really rough years and some really bad games. And, you know, you cannot fool the Chicago sports fan with a lot of nonsense. You gotta get it, put them in context. We're not guys that rip the team by any means, nor would we. That's not the way we roll, but we try and be as honest as possible. We don't need to tell you when they're bad. We need to tell you when they're good. You can figure that out as a fan, but we just give you context. And I think the context of the moment, it was just raw emotion that came out from me, and it was an exhale, so to speak, and I was happy for every Bears fan. I mean, the support has always been there for this franchise, and they continue to come to the game no matter what the cost is and what the situation is. It's a Bears town. They love their franchise, and so do I. I mean, they've meant a lot to me, and they've meant a lot to Tom, so I think that was just raw emotion coming out at the right time.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me here today. Great analysis, great content, and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
All right, John, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
What an honor it was to welcome Jeff Joniak onto today's show as we talk with him about the Bears' historic 2018 season, what to expect in 2019, plus his amazing broadcasting career. And just as a backstory, this was something that had been in the works for quite a while. It finally came through here today, and I could not be more appreciative of Jeff to take some time to come on the show. As you heard during the interview, Jeff's insights and stories were both amazing. He talked about what the Bears need to do in 2019, while also taking a trip down memory lane and talking about his journey to where he is today, entering his 19th year as the Bears' radio voice. So again, thanks to Jeff for coming on, and I truly hope that you enjoy today's interview. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi-Talk Sports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and/or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.